This is a Bible Answers program in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program, the hope of immortality. There may be a Bible Answers study group near you. If you would like to know, write to the Bible Answers, Post Office Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Frank, it has been brought to my attention that apart from accidents and calamities and war casualties, the normal death rate of the human race averages in excess of 150,000 every 24 hours. I have been wondering, what becomes of all those who die? Some of them are heathen, who have never heard of Christ. Some of them are what we might term unbelievers, and some of them are Christians. They include our own friends and relatives, everybody. I find that I have several questions to which I have no positive answers, so I would like to ask you some of these questions at this time, particularly regarding the subject of immortality. But first, let me tell our listeners that this Frank and Ernest program is heard internationally and is brought to you and by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now back to our subject of immortality and my first question, Frank. How many times does the expression immortal soul appear in the Bible?
Not once, Russell. The Bible assures us that death is not the end of human experience, for God has promised to restore the dead to life. The word soul appears in the Bible hundreds of times, but not once is it said to be immortal.
Not once? Doesn't that surprise you?
Not when we understand the matter clearly. In the Garden of Eden, Satan, speaking through the serpent, said to Mother Eve, "Ye shall not surely die." Through one philosophy or another, practically the whole world has believed that death is not a reality, that actually there is no death. It was from this viewpoint that the idea of man possessing an immortal soul originated, and that we cannot really die.
Well, I suppose that it has been easier for some to believe that life does not cease than it is to have faith in God's promises to restore life in the resurrection.
But it is the latter thought that is taught in the Bible, and the work of restoring the dead to life will be accomplished during the thousand-year reign of Christ and His church. This was clearly taught by Jesus and illustrated by His miracles of awakening various ones, such as Lazarus from the sleep of death.
But, Frank, my next question. Just what is the soul?
Russell, the first time the word soul appears in the Bible is in a text in which the Lord tells us just exactly what it is and of what it is made.
What is that text, Frank?
It is Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. In this text, we are told that God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Why, Frank, does that text indicate that the soul is made up of a combination of the body and the breath of life?
That's right, Russell. The word soul simply means a living being or a living creature. The Bible does not teach that the soul is something separate and apart from the body. It was to our first parents, who were living souls, to whom God said, "In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." When God said this, He meant that everything about them would die. As living souls, they would die. Remember, there is hope of life beyond the grave because God has promised to restore the dead to life, not because man has an immortal soul that cannot die.
But certainly the Bible does speak about immortality.
It is true that the Bible does speak of immortality, but not as an inseparable, inherent quality of man, but as a reward given to him for faithfulness and following in the footsteps of Jesus. You may be surprised, Russell, to realize how few times the word immortal and immortality appear in the Bible.
Well, I am interested. How many times, Frank?
Well, the instances are listed in this little book, Hope Beyond the Grave. You keep it, and later you may offer one of them to each of our listeners. But now I will only say the word immortal is found only once in the entire Bible.
Only once? Is that possible?
Yes, Russell, only once, and that one time it is not applied to man. The text reads, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever."
But, Frank, the word immortality must be used many times in the Bible.
Not many times, Russell, only a few. The word appears, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, and in this text we are informed that the Lord only has immortality.
All right, Frank, but what about some of the other texts?
Well, the word appears only four other times, and not once is it applied to the immortality of man, because man is not immortal. We find the word immortality in Romans chapter 2, verse 7. "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and immortality," the text says. So from this it appears that Christians need to seek for immortality.
Well, certainly we do not seek for those things which we already possess. I realize that. All right, where else does the Bible speak of immortality?
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53, the word immortality is again used. It reads, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Now, you can see from this text that immortality is a quality which, if it is ever to be possessed, must be put on, acquired, that is. Besides, the text reveals that even Christians are mortal beings, that only in the resurrection do they become immortal.
Listen, Frank, this is very interesting. The very next verse reads, "When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory."
Russell, there can be no question about the meaning of these various texts. They all emphasize the same thing. They all show that by nature man is mortal, not immortal. But there's one more text. It is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Will you read it, please?
Certainly, I'll be glad to. "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel."
Russell, if Jesus was the first to bring the hope of immortality to light through his gospel, how could it be said that man was created immortal?
You have a very good point there, Frank. I notice, though, the text says that Jesus brought immortality to light through the gospel. What about that?
The gospel is the good news of salvation from death through Christ. The thought is that through Christ an opportunity is now given for those who follow in the footsteps, in his footsteps, that is, of sacrifice, to seek immortality, to strive for it as a reward to be attained in the resurrection.
And another question, Frank, will the people actually know one another in the resurrection?
Oh, indeed they will. Take the case of Lazarus. When he was raised from the dead, he rejoined his family, and they enjoyed his companionship just as they did before he died. What a wonderful homecoming that will be for all mankind. There will be no one then who will have any doubt about the matter of life after death. And now, Russell, if you please, will you tell our listeners more about the little book, Hope Beyond the Grave, and how they may obtain a copy free?
Yes, Frank, I will. My friends, did it surprise you to hear Frank say that the expression immortal soul is not found in the Bible? Did it seem incredible when he said that the word immortal appears only once in the Bible and that the word immortality occurs only five times? Well, these are but some of the facts brought to light in the little book, Hope Beyond the Grave. This book discusses every aspect of the subject of death and the hereafter. It shows from the Bible that hell is not a place of torment. It shows from the Bible that restored paradise is to be here on the earth. It proves from the Bible that there is hope for those who have died in unbelief. It explains the heavenly hope held out in the Bible to all faithful Christians. These are all facts that we all wish to know, and you will find them all and many more in the little book, Hope Beyond the Grave. So write for it today. Simply address a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the Hope Book. Just the one word, hope, is all you need to remember, and it will be sent to you free and postpaid, and of course without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.